Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadhari. Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Siddhavana Chari. Yamuna Siddhavana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Acharya Sahasrara Sipashi Shimara Devangre Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBD Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 13, Text 49. Tasmin prasane sakalasi samprabho. Tasmin prasane sakalasi samprabho. Kim durlabham tabir alam lavatma bihi. Kim durlabham tabir alam lavatma bi. Ananya drishtya bhajatam guhayasaha. Ananya drishtya bhajatam guhasaya. Swayam vidate swagatim paraparam. Swayam vidate swagatim paraparam. Tasmin prasane sakala lasi. Tasmin prasane sakala si samprabho. Kim durlabham tabir alam lavatmabhi. Ananya drishtya bhajatam guhasaya. Swayam vidate swagatim paraparam. Others.
Vaishnavis. Tasmin, unto him, prasane, being pleased, sakala ashisham, of all benediction, prabho, unto the Lord, kim, what is that, dorlabham, very difficult to obtain, tabi, with them, alam, away. Lava atmavi, with insignificant gains. Ananya drishtya, by nothing but devotional service. Bhajatam, of those who are engaged in devotional service. Guha asaya, residing within the heart. Swayam, personally. Vidite, executes. Swagatim, in his own abode. Pada, the supreme. Padam, transcendental. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10, the Lord gives intelligence to the pure devotees so that they may be elevated to the highest perfectional stage. It is confirmed herein that a pure devotee who constantly engages in the loving service of the Lord is awarded all knowledge necessary to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For such a devotee, there is nothing valuable to be achieved but the Lord's service. If one serves faithfully, there is no possibility of frustration because the Lord Himself takes charge of the devotee's advancement. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and He knows the devotee's motive and arranges everything achievable. In other words, the pseudo-devotee who is anxious to achieve material gains cannot attain the highest perfectional stage because the Lord is in knowledge of his motive. One merely has to become sincere in his purpose, and then the Lord is there to help in every way. Om Ginata Madandasya Janamjana Shalakaya Chakshur Namilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakara Mayam Dirati Swaparatikam. So this verse is talking about how Krishna rewards dedication, dedicated devotional service of a devotee, and also how he understands who's dedicated and who's not. Those are the two subjects that are dealt with in this translation and purport. So perhaps the greatest example, not perhaps, definitely, well, certainly one of the greatest examples of dedication being rewarded is Srila Prabhupada himself. And Srila Prabhupada even understood his situation like that. I've mentioned this before, but it's appropriate. I'll mention again. In a letter he wrote to Sudama in 1972, he said, when I was alone in your New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, sinful place? But at least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something. But then Krishna was all along planning something I could not see. He brought you nice American boys and girls, one by one, for helping to spread the movement of Lord Chaitanya. He says, now that I can see, it's a miracle. Otherwise, one old man in your city of New York with barely enough money to buy his food, how could he survive? What to speak of spreading a God-conscious movement all over the world? So, you know, Prabhupada could understand that because he was so dedicated, Krishna blessed him. Krishna rewarded him. He benedicted his, you know, his dedication like that. And he states in the fourth canto, he states that as a principle, the pure devotee is always desiring how to deliver the conditioned souls. And Krishna, being within the heart of everyone, the pure devotee and all the people, says Krishna being within their heart, he inspires the general populace from within by his causeless mercy. In other words, in reciprocation to the dedication of the devotee, Krishna inspires the general populace to become interested in Krishna consciousness. So, yeah, Krishna's always reciprocating with the dedication of his devotees. And yayatamam papajante tam sataiva bhajamiham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So the more dedicated one is, the more one is going to experience that reciprocation from Krishna for his dedication. So what does it mean to be dedicated? Well, dictionary definition is a dedicated person is somebody who has single-minded loyalty and integrity to a cause. And some words that synonyms for being dedicated would be like a staunch devotee. A dedicated devotee would be, sometimes Prabhupada even use that expression, staunch devotee, steadfast devotee, like that. And some symptoms of a dedicated devotee would be things like good attendance to the programs, somebody who takes initiative, you know, in their service. They're a self-starter. You know, it's not somebody who has to be kind of like watched over. You know that this person's going to do it. They're into it. They're very striving to achieve a desired goal. And one of probably the most important symptom of a dedicated devotee, because we're talking about dedication to Krishna, which means dedication to the mission of Krishna, dedication to the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada, at least on one occasion, and maybe probably more, but it was right here in Los Angeles, he made the point that this Krishna consciousness movement is non-different from Krishna. You've heard that? Krishna consciousness movement is non-different from Krishna. So if you're dedicated to the Krishna consciousness movement, that's the same thing as being dedicated to Krishna. So to be dedicated to the Krishna consciousness movement means that you're putting the welfare of the Krishna consciousness movement, even ideally, even before your own welfare. That's, you know, and Chanaka Pandit said we can take a lesson from even a non-Brahminical source. Okay, so I'm going to use Chanaka Pandit's authority here and give an example of that. There was a basketball player named Bill Russell. Who's heard of him? Raise your hand. Okay. All right, some people. Anyway, so, you know, among people who are sports fans, and they argue, who's the GOAT, you know, the greatest of all time? Who's the greatest player of all time? And some people say, oh, well, you know, Michael Jordan or this one, Kobe Bryant or somebody. But those who are in the know, they'll argue that, well, actually, no, Bill Russell, and I'll tell you why. Because basketball is a team sport. Okay? So what's the most important statistic? If you're playing a team sport, what's the most important statistic? Who said that? Thank you. That's exactly right. The team winning. That's the team, whether your team wins or not, that's the most important statistic. You see? What does it matter if you're the all-time high scorer, the all-time high rebounder, the all-time high this or that, if your team's losing all the time? You see? So the most important statistic, if you're playing a team sport, is your team winning? How many times is your team winning? Okay, so Bill Russell, he was interviewed once while he was still alive, and he was saying, I have 10 fingers, but I've got 11 championship rings. So that's the proof, And, he would say sometimes, some games I would only score 4 points. And he said, I don't care. If my team wins, what do I care? So in other words, he had the right attitude. He had the right attitude. He understood that the important thing was that the team wins. And that's what he focused on. My team has got to win. I don't care if I score 4 points or no points. As long as my team wins, I'm a happy man. So it's the same thing. We're going to have kind of cultivate or develop that attitude towards the Krishna consciousness movement. I want to see this movement, successful. I want to see this movement develop and prosper and flourish like that. And that's what's important. That's our top priority. That's more important to us than our own personal success, the success of the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's another symptom. That's a very important symptom of a dedicated devotee. And so how does one become like that? It's not artificial. How do you go from being appreciating that sentiment to actually becoming a dedicated devotee, somebody who actually has that kind of an attitude? Well, as in all things, association is a key factor. If you associate with people, with devotees, it's obvious from their behavior that they believe that the Krishna consciousness movement is very important, and you could see that they're giving a lot of their time and a lot of their energy towards trying to make the Krishna consciousness movement successful. If you associate with devotees like that, then you'll develop that conviction, because that's what happens. When you associate with somebody, you become like them, you develop their same qualities. And even like another principle beyond that, that these devotees who are behaving like that, devotees who it's obvious from their behavior think the Krishna consciousness movement is very important, and that you can see that they're putting a lot of time and a lot of energy into trying to make it better, they're empowered by Lord Chaitanya. And this is an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave, where Prabhupada kind of makes this point. He says, specifically in relation to the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis, he says, Sri Chaitanya Kripabaro Bhuvi Bhuvo Paravahantarako. The six Goswamis, they are directly recipient of the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, they were empowered to diminish the sinful burden of the world. And it goes again, Sri Chaitanya Kripabaro Bhuvi Bhuvo Paravahantarako. When people become too much sinful, the heart becomes overburdened. At that time, Parichanaya Sadhanam Vinishaya Chaduskritam, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes. So the idea is that, so Lord Chaitanya, he empowered his disciples. So Sri Chaitanya personally came as Krishna, and he empowered his disciples to diminish the overburden of this earth. So the followers of the bona fide spiritual master, they're empowered. They're empowered to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, as it says here, to diminish the burden, the overburden of the earth due to excessive sinful activities. So we have to take shelter. We should take shelter of devotees we see who are like excelling in their service. And we've seen, great examples of that. Recently, we had this devotee here, Chaitanya Charan, who gave us, a few incredible classes. It's not a secret. It's not a mystery. You can see from a devotee, from their the results of their activities, that person's being empowered. So we have to try to seek out that person's association. That's the secret of success. You have to try to get the association of these devotees who are completely sold out, completely surrendered, you know, to trying to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement, and you know, try to learn from them. That's the secret of success, as I said, and the secret of failure is not seeking out their association or avoiding that association. That's really not a good idea. Well, something that Prabhupada said about this point, about Krishna reciprocating or rewarding the dedication of a devotee. This is from an excerpt from a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Brahmananda in 1968. He said, regarding Krishna's being very kind upon us, should be on the principle as Arjuna followed. The principle is that Krishna was Arjuna's most intimate friend. He could have brought victory to Arjuna without any endeavor by Arjuna. Neither was that principle advised by Arjuna, neither Arjuna followed it. As a military man, Arjuna fought to his best, but the victory was brought him by Krishna. Now here Prabhupada is making an analogy. So he says, similarly, we should try our best to our best capacity, and victory will come from Krishna. We should never sit idly and ask Krishna to do everything. That is the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. It is clearly said in the Gita, Yudhasya cha mam anushmara. So ordinarily we have to try our best to our best capacity to achieve something, and by Krishna's grace, all of a sudden we shall see that everything is there. This sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. So that's the Prabhupada's giving us another secret here of how to be rewarded by Krishna for our dedication. Just Prabhupada's specifically saying that we have to try our best to our best capacity to achieve something, and by Krishna's grace, all of a sudden we shall see everything is there. And when that happens, Prabhupada says that sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. So how is it that Krishna knows when, because you know, Prabhupada's making the point here in the purport that the Lord is seated in everyone's heart and he knows the devotee's motive and arranges everything achievable. So somebody might question, well, you know, that sounds kind of fantastic. How is it possible, you know, for Krishna to know what's going on in the heart of every devotee? Might sound kind of inconceivable, but it wasn't inconceivable to Prabhupada. I just heard him say in a lecture the other day, he gave a very nice analogy. Here we go. This is an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave on this point. It's titled, How is it not possible by God to understand or witness everything? And Prabhupada goes, whether you are driving your car properly or not, there is no question of constable standing. The radar machine is recording, and your number is being noted down, whether you are driving properly. So Prabhupada goes, if it is possible in this material world, by the arrangement of the government, that without any man, the government can witness your activities, how is it not possible by God to understand or witness everything, whatever you are doing? This is quite a reasonable thing. It is a question of the machine. He said, in factories also, there are so many machines, they can record, even without the presence of the superintendent. So, you know, these days you have like webcams, right? They're picking up everything everybody does. They hear and see whatever's going on. So Prabhupada's making the point, if even the, you know, ordinary materialists have these kind of devices now, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's capable of understanding what's going on in the heart of every living entity, and what to speak of his devotees. So somebody might ask, well, okay, but you know, where do you begin? I mean, devotional service is just such a vast thing. There's so many different things that we have to be taken into consideration. Well, and the Prabhupada gives a hint, not more than a hint, he gives an instruction in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as to where we can begin to start our dedication. Yeah. And this is in the Madhya Lila, chapter 8, I think. I'm not sure. Yeah. Anyway, the verse goes, Smartav yam satatam vishnor, smartav tavyam najatu sit, sarve vidi nasera sur ekayorde vikintkara. That always remember Vishnu, never forget him. And the translation goes that this principle is the... of all the rules and regulations, it's the most important. And all the rules and regulations are actually meant to be servants and assistants to that one basic principle of always remember Vishnu and never forget him. And in the purport, Prabhupada says this, and this is where he kind of really gets specific. He says, this verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana. There are many regulative principles in the Shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle. That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. Here it comes. It says, this is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra 24 hours daily. Okay. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna conscious movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. So, on the strength of that statement, a good place to start your dedication would be become very dedicated to chanting 16 legitimate rounds. You know, getting up early, chanting 16 rounds, not doing anything else while you're chanting, just, you know, chant 16 rounds. That's a good place to start your dedication. Okay, so the next question that might come up might be, so when should we start getting dedicated like this? Well, the best time to start getting dedicated like that is right away. There's, I was just, in another lecture I was listening to, Prabhupada explains what happens in the material world to everything, every living thing. He says, nature's way. He's referring, talking about nature's way. He says, this is called sadvikar. This is nature's law. You cannot avoid it. This is called apakshaya, dwindling. Anything, it may remain fresh, just like the flower. From the bud it grows, and then it fructifies and becomes very beautiful. Then there are some seeds. Then it becomes dry, withered, and then finished. It says, this is law applicable to anything material. This law is applicable to anything material. So, apakshaya, that's what we can expect is going to happen to us, you know. There's an expression, you know, in English they have the expression, the old gray mare ain't what it used to be. Actually, it was a song. It was a folk song. The old gray mare. I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. The old gray mare ain't what it used to be means as you get older, you just can't do the same things. You just, the physical limitations inevitably will be there. So there's another expression, make hay while the sun shines. Make hay while the sun shines. Does anybody know the logic of that expression? The idea is that if you, well, that, you know, when you have out the field and you got the hay, unless you, if you don't bring it in before it rains, then forget it. Once it rains on that hay, it gets wet, it gets all mildewy and, you know, rotten. And if you bring in the hay when it's wet, it just goes rotten in the silo. So you got to make hay, you got to bring it in while the sun is shining. That's the idea there. See? And another important point is, and we kind of touched upon this already, is so once you decide, okay, I'm going to get serious, I'm going to, you know, now, and the way to do that, once again, is just to mahajana yena gatasa panta, to take shelter of devotees who you could see are already doing that, and just really just learn from them. Don't reinvent the wheel. That's another expression. I guess I really like expressions.
What was the definition? I think I had a dictionary definition for that one, so it's kind of obvious, but don't waste a great deal of time and energy creating something that already exists. In other words, I'll give you, like, say, take book distribution. Sometimes I have devotees come out with me, and they just want to figure it out themselves. You know, it doesn't work. Generally, it doesn't work. They get frustrated and they give up. I had the good fortune of having one person, Bhakta Maxim, who just after about 3 or 4 weeks of going out, trying and being frustrated, just realized, hey, you know what? Why don't I just do exactly what he's doing? It seems to be working for him. And he just, about a few days ago, he just decided, okay, I'm just going to do the same thing. And he just started, he just, like a mirror, just started, you know, the same thing, same exact lines I was using. And boom, he's just like plugged in, and he's this last week, he's just doing great. So it's like that in anything. It's like that for book distribution. It's like that for dressing the deities. It's like that for cooking. It's like that for you name it. In any different area of devotional service, if you've just following the footsteps of somebody who's doing it successfully, then you get a much better result like that. It's not, you know, the detail, it's the most important thing is to see the principle and then just kind of zero in on that principle. You can adjust it. You don't have to have every little detail the same, but the principle, what's this person doing? And you kind of get that, and then, that's the quickest way to become empowered yourself. So that's an important point. Here's another important point. I'll throw this in here. Just another interesting instruction I heard as I've been listening to Prabhupada lectures. And I could say this now because I don't see anybody doing it, so I don't feel uncomfortable saying it. But Prabhupada said this in a lecture he gave in Gorakhpur, I believe it was, about 1971. He said, if somebody dozes, it gives me too much pain. He said, I ask you to go to sleep. It disturbs me. Too much disturbs me. I tell you, Prabhupada speak in the middle of a class, he just saw somebody dozing and he digressed and said this. He says, too much disturbs me. I tell you frankly, when I speak, if somebody dozes, better not to sit. And it's better that person goes. Sleep 24 hours, but don't show like that. I'm sitting here and dozing. This is very much disturbing to me. Better frankly sleep. And then he goes, why this should be so? I do not know. What is the reason? You don't have full sleep? And if you don't have sleep, then extend. You make it 8 o'clock. But sleep sufficiently. If 6 hours, 7 hours is not sufficient, sleep 13, 14 hours. But don't make dozing like this. I just thought I had to read that. You know, it's pretty far out.
Yeah.
And one final really nice instruction I just recently heard was, let's see if I can find it easily. Ah, here we go. Yeah, this is Prabhupada. This is an excerpt from lecture. It says, when you go to preach, talk, put your arguments, logic, to the opposing elements, and you are sometimes forced back, sometimes you are defeated, sometimes in arguments it happens. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commented that a devotee, when he goes to preach and he is attacked by the opposing elements, that is also culture of bhakti. Devotional service. Not that when you go to preach, don't think that I am wasting my time. Better to sit down in a place and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. These are all nonsense. You have to preach, face the opposing elements. That is better than chanting Hare Krishna. He goes, that is my Guru Maharaj's policy. Mama Tumi Kishera Vaishnava Pratishtara Tari Nirjana Nera Gare.
tava harinama keva kaivala kaitava. It is simply cheating the public. Why am I engaged in chanting? If you have got some important business, you have to do that. You have to do first. Your only business is how to satisfy Krishna through his representative. That is your only. So kirtanam, anything speaking. Anyway, he's making the point that you have to face the opposing elements, even if you're defeated. That's Prabhupada considered that super important, and he makes the point that is better than chanting. So he didn't want us to be dozers. But he did want us to be fighters. You know, devotees said, go out and meet the opposing elements. That's really important. And anything else? Okay, well, one last point. So what if you're doing all these different things and you're just not feeling it? You're doing everything. But it's just... Well, Prabhupada says, if one is completely surrendered to Krishna and he has no other business than to serve him, then he can understand that, even if I don't understand whether Krishna is pleased or not, by the formula I can understand that because I am fully surrendered, I have no other business, then Krishna must be pleased. So in other words, basically what he's saying there is that don't listen to your mind. If you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, then just take it from Prabhupada here, you're pleasing Krishna. Don't listen to your mind. The mind is not, sometimes cannot, is not our friend. What to speak of not our friend, it could be, they used to have an expression in the post office, they used to have these posters back when I was a kid, public enemy number one. You know? Yeah, do you remember those? I remember once I was on summer vacation with my father and we went into the post office and there was a poster up. I don't know if it said public enemy. I don't know if it was public enemy. And he saw the picture and he said, I know that guy, Eddie Maps. I said, yeah, he was in my high school. So the guy in the post office overheard him. And we got visited by the FBI. Because, you know, my father said he knew. Anyway, nothing came of it. But the mind can be like public enemy number one. And so sometimes you just have to neglect it. You just have to... I mean, like during the marathon, for instance, you know, we had a lot of rain and it was cold. And because it's the marathon, you know, you feel like you should go out. So I remember there's some mornings when I was going, okay, let's, you know, come on, we're going out now. And my mind's going, I'm going out. You know, it's like almost like a struggle between two people, you know. I'm not going out. No, come on, it's a marathon, we got to go out. It's our duty. It's the philosophy. I don't care about your stinking philosophy. I don't believe a word of that philosophy. You know, I mean, the mind can go to that extent. It's just like a child. And sometimes you just have to put your foot down and just say, "We're doing it." Sometimes I cheat my mind. I just say, "Okay, no, don't worry about it. We're just going to go out there. We're just going to go for a drive. You know, just drive to the parking lot and we'll go shopping and you know." It's a trip. But that's the mind is not our authority. You know, we have to go by the statements of the Shastra. It takes practice. It's something you have to work at. But, you know, don't. If your mind is protesting, you know, don't worry. It's not that you're not necessarily doing anything wrong. As Prabhupada says here, you could be doing everything right. You know, somebody says here... I am, even if I do not understand whether Krishna is pleased or not, and your mind is telling you, it can't be right, I'm not feeling good. So by the formula, I can understand that because I'm fully surrendered, I have no other business, and Krishna must be pleased. So if you're just following the instructions, you take it, you know, from Prabhupada, you're pleasing. You're pleasing him, you're pleasing Krishna. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah, Rabindranath Prabhu.
Yeah, you mentioned about just following example of others. There's no reason to change things, or you know, if it works. But I understand that with the great acharyas, if they do something, we just follow their example. But like in the Krishna conscious movement, like you mentioned about book distribution, but we see like throughout the history of book distribution, different devotees have tried different things over the years. So I'm just thinking, you know, what we're doing right now is working, but somebody may come along and do something different that may work even better. So How do you decide, you know, what you should do in that regard?
Yeah. My realization on that is that to start off with, you got to be an apprentice. You know, the apprentice, he just follows. And then once you're like, once you got that down, once it's like in your blood, you know, to how to do dress the deities and everything like that, or how to cook a preparation or an offering, or once it's, you know, once it's second nature practically, because you've learned from the person who's you're teaching you, you've learned what they want you to learn, and it's kind of like, as I said, second nature, it's in your blood, then that's when you can kind of get creative. That's when you can become innovative and like that. But initially, apprentice. Apprentice, you just learn from the person you're working up under, and then once you got that down, you know, then you can kind of, and I think the great book distributors, I don't know about other services, but they've done that. You know, they kind of first learned from the somebody who was already successful, and then when they got imbibed all that, then they kind of took it to another level. But the first stage is apprenticeship. That's my understanding, my realization of it.
Okay, thank you.
Satya Dinoy.
I really like your example that you gave about the team effort and that personality who show detachment, selflessness. It's almost like a sadhu among the basketball players. So how can you apply the team effort internationally? You know, ISKCON, we're a family. Some place, somewhere, might be doing good, really good. But we have family members, let's say in Mexico, Puerto Rico, small temples who are struggling and suffering. You might be getting high scores. You might be reporting big numbers in Mayapur in the meetings. But your family members are struggling and suffering. If it's a team effort, as you were describing, if we put it as internationally, like, okay, let me help. Let me do this for that. And, you know, maybe I'm not going to be that number one or number two. Now, my question is, how can you balance this? Because it's a lot of complexities. You know, we're talking about resources.
Yeah.
In a team effort in basketball, it's very easy to understand. But when it comes to management, money, sharing, it requires a lot of, I don't know what, you know, like, what to, you know, there's certain things I think it could be done, but I'm not qualified to speak in that yet.
I got an idea on that one here. Like, when I was reading that one about, Prabhupada said that, you know, facing the opposition, it's better than chanting. And at some point he said, don't think that I am wasting my time, better to sit down in a place and chant Hare Krishna. That's all nonsense. You have to preach. You have to face the opposing elements. That is better than chanting Hare Krishna. So, as members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we have a voice. We have a voice. We might not be a temple president, a GBC, a sannyasi, a guru, or something, but every individual has a voice. And devotees, they respond to intelligence, you know? So, it's not easy. It's really not easy, just like it's not easy to go out and face opposing elements out on the street. Even in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we have to be prepared to face opposing elements. If you see something that's going on in the Krishna Consciousness Movement and you think, wait a second, something's wrong here, it's not easy. And it takes courage, it takes intelligence, but it's actually we should say something. We should say something in a respectful way, in an intelligent way, in an organized way, you know, not just kind of like, but it's our duty to say something. And if we were all doing more of that, you know, over the years, we would could have avoided a lot of big problems that we've had in our movement, you know, because of not doing that. Because there's things that have happened in the Krishna Consciousness Movement that could have, it's not like, you know, it could have been avoided if it's not like we weren't. It's not like the members weren't intelligent enough to understand that something what was wrong or to address it. It just whatever, you know. You just it's uncomfortable. It's difficult, but that's what we got to do. So, like, for instance, you know, the inequality among temples, somebody has to speak and approach, you know, speak to authority, speak to power, and say, hey, you know, could these resources be maybe distributed, you know, make suggestions and like that, and be prepared that maybe you're not going to be appreciated. But if you do it respectfully, I can't see you're not going to. How it's going to be bad. It's not going to harm us. It's just... Anyway, that's... I think I kind of made the point. That's what I think about that. Everybody has a voice, and if you express yourself respectfully and intelligently, you'll be heard. Whether it'll happen or not, I don't know, but at least you'll be heard, and you'll have done what... We'll have done what we're supposed to have, do. What do you think? Does that make sense? That makes sense? Is that a good answer or no? Yeah, you know, just like in the movement, we see some temples are really flourishing and prospering and have lots of money and resources and this and that, and there's other places that are really struggling. And, you know, so why not help those? In general, you know, this, in ISKCON, we see there's so many, some discrepancies, disparities, inequalities, and it seems like, you know, why can't these things be adjusted? And I'm saying, you know, you got to be prepared to speak out. If you see something that's not the way you want it to be in the Krishna consciousness movement, in a very respectful and intelligent way, speak about it, you know, talk about it. Make your, you know, we all have a voice. It's not like, you know, it is like the military in one sense. You know, you have to follow, but in another sense, it's not. Like, you know, we're all intelligent and adults, and we can should have be able to have dialogue and talk about and work things out. And I think if that was there more, we could have avoided, as I said, a lot of big made, you know, problems we've had within ISKCON. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I think that's a very good answer. I would also say that there is, like, there's principles and there's policy also in developing a particular temple. You know, everybody being on the same page in terms of, you know, chanting, Vaishnav etiquette, all these things create a certain kind of enthusiasm. And then for those individuals, that sometimes they come out of that kind of enthusiasm, they have a natural ability to inspire each other or people. That person should be given that opportunity. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that?
Like feed the hot hand?
Huh?
Feed the hot hand? If somebody, you see somebody's kind of inspired and doing well, kind of giving
up. Someone who's actually got the natural, you know, a desire or the ability to be able to inspire or give people, you know, get them inspired in their Krishna conscious service. These things are very valuable tools in terms of everybody cooperating together and developing a project. And from that, it expands on it, you know, just by the nature of it, it expands. Just like we have you here, and you're the book distribution leader in the temple, and we can see that if we encourage you, if we support you, and you feel that, then you get more enthusiasm in order to, you know, go out and get more people to come on book distribution.
Hope so.
It's a natural kind of ingredient, and you have that desire. And it's visible. We can see it and we can feel it. So we try to encourage you and give you that opportunity. And you're taking it and running with it, and look at the results.
Okay.
The results speak for themselves. So I think that all these things are the ingredients within the individual. You know, if you don't have someone like that in that particular place, then the idea is to somehow develop someone in that place to be able to acquire those capabilities or expand their, you know, horizons or whatever. So I think it really comes down to the basis of Krishna consciousness, though. Like, look at yourself. You know, you get to the program, you're chanting your rounds, you're enthusiastic about book distribution, you encourage it, you teach it, the results are there in Nudwarka. We see those results. And so the temple, a good portion of the temple is inspired by it. And there's other principles too in terms of the deity worship. You know, how is that going? Devotees love to see good deity worship. They love to see festivals. You know, are the devotees that are doing that service, are they trying to create that atmosphere which brings enthusiasm and develops leadership in Krishna consciousness and Vaishnav etiquette?
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I guess we could kind of end there. It's pretty much time. Thank you very much. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.